reach out and touch someone. Isn't that a telephone advertisement as well? I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. We stand because we respect God's word. And, you know, it's just like if the judge comes walking into the courtroom, somebody says, "All rise." It's showing respect. And I just want you to know that that's the reason why we do it. Growing up as a kid, sometimes in church, I would always ask, "So why do we stand so much and sit down?" And once it was explained to me, well, it's respect for God's word, I go, okay, I got that. I can do that. I'll read from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word before us today. I ask you to help me to preach it in a way that will draw people into your word and make it come alive for them, but also seeing where it needs to be applied in our hearts and our lives today, not only at this time on Sunday morning, but every day of our lives. So Lord, only you can do this through your Holy Spirit. Touch each one of us here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I know right from the start that many of you have heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Yeah, thank you. And so what comes to my mind is this. When you've heard something often, right away people think, okay, Pastor, we've heard this before. Time to put my brain in snooze control. Because I heard it before. Well, you know, it's the same way that as a pastor, when you come into Christmas and Easter, it's the same thing. I ask myself, they've heard this before. For some, they've heard it many, many times. And looking at the congregation here, your ages, you have heard this many times. So what can I do? What can I give you today that is going to make an impact or make God's word be effective in what you hear today that could change your life? And I just kind of throw up my hands, go like, I don't know, but Lord, here we go. But this is one thing that's amazing about the Bible. No matter how many times you hear certain stories or read certain passages, you sometimes come across like, man, I know I read that before, but I didn't see that. or that really spoke to me, and I know I've read it before, and I never got that out of it before when I read it. And so hopefully, my friends, even though you've heard this many times, you're going to go, when you leave, I never expected that. So you can ask one another when you see one another during the week, or you give up a call to someone, go like, so what did you think of the sermon on Sunday? Or even after church, you're going to have lunch, but you can have fried preacher. First thing I want us to get straight and to understand is that Jesus tells this expert in the law a parable. What is a parable?
Sorry.
Good question, Pastor. Ask somebody in the congregation today, what is a parable? When you hear the word parable, what comes to your mind?
A story.
It's a story. Don't make it complicated. It's a story, and there's something that is meant in that story. What is it? A what? Yeah, a lesson. There is a truth that is going to be shared that you cannot miss the point. And it will be a spiritual truth. Jesus is the best storyteller there is. Who is the best storyteller in this church? Who likes to tell stories?
You.
I do. Those of you that are listening to this by CD, the answer that was given was, the question was, who likes to tell stories in this church? And someone who said, you, meaning me. Well, Jesus was the best storyteller, and if you told the story right, you cannot help but to see the point that is being made. And so that's what we're going to do here with the Good Samaritan. Are you ready? Put on your seatbelt. And some of you are going to have some sore ribs today because somebody sitting next to you is going to be going. All right? Okay. First thing I want you to notice in this parable, or this portion of scripture that we're at, we're not going to get to the parable quite yet, but I want you to notice the motivation of the expert, the guy of the law. It means he is a person who knows the Bible. You know, they didn't call it the Bible at that time, but they would probably have called it the Torah in the Hebrew. But he would know that these were the books that were written and handed down that taught the Hebrew people, the Jews today. And this guy has got his doctorate in knowing what is said. He studied it. He knows it like the back of his hand, you know. And he's called an expert, and he's the one that is asking Jesus, what? Rabbi or teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, it probably shows Jesus right away. He goes, well, he's the expert in the law. He shouldn't even have to ask this question. He knows what God's word says about having eternal life and the answer to that. And so Jesus responds back by asking him a question. Rather than giving an answer, he just says, what is written in the law? You're the expert now. You're the expert of the law. What is written in the law? And how do you read it? He knows he's talking to a learned man, a guy who has gone through a lot of training, has done a lot of studying, and so his answer is, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that should help you to, or remind you of saying, you know, somebody asked Jesus before, what are the two greatest commandments? And this is exactly what Jesus spoke to them about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, yada, yada, yada. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. So why would someone who is an expert in the law ask such a question of Jesus? Probably it is this. So he can judge the answer that Jesus would give and to see if you'd answer it according to his way. When he's done answering the questions that Jesus asked him to answer, he affirms him and says, "You're correct. What you've just said is absolutely true. Do this and you will live." Now, it must have made this expert in the law probably feel pretty good. I nailed that. I got another A on a test. I passed it. Bless you. But I want you to see this, that the expert in the law gave head knowledge. What he said is just head knowledge. It was not from his heart. And there's a big difference when someone has a lot of head knowledge and it's not from their heart. There can be pastors who have a lot of head knowledge, a lot of learning, a lot of training, a lot of studying, and it's not in their heart. It's the worst kind. This expert in the law had no clue on how what he just said to Jesus, how this was to be applied to his own life, because what he told Jesus wasn't in his own heart. He knew it, but it really wasn't here. You know, you can miss heaven by about 12 inches, here to here. Depends on how long of a neck you have. It could be 12 to 18 inches. No. But you can have a lot of head knowledge. You know a lot of things in your head, but it's never come down to go in your heart. Could you possibly be that kind of a person here this morning? You know a lot. You're the person that says, "I'm always right. Don't ever question me." The expert in the law could have been that kind of a guy. "I know this. Don't question me. Just believe what I tell you." Therefore, Jesus then gives this parable to explain to this expert in the law what it means to be neighborly. Because he asked the question, well, what does it mean here to love your neighbor as yourself? And that's a reason for the parable of the Good Samaritan. So notice, I just want you to notice the people who are involved in this parable. You first have an ordinary man, and more likely this man that Jesus is talking about is a Jewish man. It doesn't say in our text if he was Jew or not. But in the context of what we have here, I believe he's inferring that this is a Jewish man who needs to go to Walmart, that's in Jericho, and do some shopping or see some people. The road from Jerusalem down to Jericho is a real narrow, winding road, and it was always known as a dangerous place to go, especially by yourself, because there was always robbers. It was not a safe place to go. When we went to Jerusalem twice, well, went to Israel twice in the past 10 years, our tour guide would call ahead asking, because on the agenda was we were to go to Jericho. I wanted to see the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climb there. And so he would call ahead of saying, okay, what are things like in Jericho? Because today in Jericho, there is a large Arab population. And they would love to have tourists from who knows where come there. And sometimes, especially if you go there on a Friday, which is the Muslim holy day of Friday, it's not a good time to go to Jericho, because as they worship in their mosque, they get a little riled up. And so at both times when we were there, he'd call ahead and he'd say, we cannot stop in Jericho. It's just is not safe. And I'm going like, really? Seriously? Two times we go to Israel and we can't see Jericho, only from the distance. You couldn't go into the city. The road between Jericho and Jerusalem, very narrow road. It's very windy. It's a great place to be a robber or a thief or a crook. And you just kind of ambush people along the way. We find in the parable that what Jesus is saying, he's taking something that's very ordinary, what happens in that day, and brings it down to real everyday life. And so this man, as he's on his way to Jericho, he gets mugged. He's assaulted by robbers. They strip him of his clothes. They could have taken all his clothes. They could have tore all of them off. Or he could have just been there in his undies. I'm really not sure. But they beat him up. He's bleeding. And they leave him after they've taken everything they could find of any value. Or maybe it didn't matter what he had. They just wanted to beat somebody up. And he was the one that happened to be there. And this took place. And they left him there half dead along the road. Now that in itself would get your attention, like, oh man, yeah, that does really happen along the Jericho road. What was the guy doing going there all by himself to begin with? Well, then the plot thickens. It's like, who is going to help this guy? The poor guy got beat up, he's black and blue, he's probably bleeding, he's not moving, he's probably unconscious. Who's going to help this guy? Ta-da! Here he comes, a priest, a Jewish priest, a rabbi. Yay! Just in time, he's going to help this guy. And the priest is going like, man, I got to get to Jericho. I got too much to do here. I just got to get to Jericho. I see that guy there, but I'm just going to walk past him. And we'd go like, now this guy would be expected to help the man that was beaten up and laying around the road. And he doesn't do it. After he leaves, comes a Levite. A Levite is another religious person who would know the law very much, and he would be afraid to touch somebody who's dead because it would make him unclean. And so he doesn't go over and kind of go like, hey, are you breathing? Can you hear me? Can you talk to me? Well, he wouldn't even want to touch the guy in case he was dead, because that would throw his whole schedule of the day off. And for him to become clean again would take a number of days before he could be received back into his own community as a clean person. He wouldn't dare touch somebody who was dead. And he thought he probably was, but it says that he went on the other side of this guy. Saw him, did not help him. And so you go like, well, if you got a priest, you got a Levite, some religious people that go to church all the time, surely they should help, you'd think. And they don't. Can that happen today? Babe, don't be so honest. No, and it probably does. Have you ever seen somebody stopped along the road with their flashers on? And you just kind of whip one by. Well, Pastor, today you've got to be very careful. You don't know who's out there. And that's true. You don't. You got to be careful. And maybe they have a cell phone so they can call somebody. They're okay. And so, I mean, we kind of sometimes justify the things that we do in that regard. I'm telling you, that's what I do, okay? I don't stop like I used to. I just whiz on by and then feel guilty. Can at least stop to say if you have any trouble, is there anything I can help with, and still stay in your car because you've got power windows, maybe, or stand outside and say, need any help? Just to find out, they just appreciate, say, everything's fine, we're okay, okay, you can go. You say, like, good, I don't have time to help you anyway. Got other things to do. But then the point that Jesus makes in the parable comes next. A Samaritan. Out of all the people in the world who are going to stop and help this guy, it had to be a Samaritan. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago or so. I said, you know, the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans did not like the Jews, and there's a history of that, and it's because the Jews thought they were pure-blooded. Jews and the Samaritans had married, their ancestors had married some other foreigners that made them not as pure bloods. And so there was that rivalry, and they looked at each other differently, and they just did not even, the Jews would not travel through Samaria, and the Samaritans would not want to go to Jerusalem because there were Jews there, and they had their own mountain to worship God on, and all that kind of a thing. So Jesus brings out a point: out of all the people who would help this guy who's been beaten up, he is stripped of his clothes, he is black and blue, he's bleeding, and he needs some help. The one who comes by and stops is a Samaritan. And it tells us what he did. First thing he did is he took pity on him. He could not just walk by this guy. He didn't know that the priest and the Levite had been there before and went by. It was just happened to be on his way to Jericho that day, and he sees him laying there. And he takes pity on him. Poor guy, what in the world happened? Get down on his knees and kind of, you know, and saw that he was still breathing. You've got to put some bandages on him because he's bleeding. He put some bandages on him. He takes some of his wine and oil and puts it over the wounds. That was like an antiseptic of the day. Wine would have some alcohol in it. It would take care of some infection. And oil is a soothing thing that is good for any wound. And then he put the guy on his own donkey and took him to Motel 6 and asked the innkeeper there to take care of this guy. And the next day, he takes out 2 silver coins. In some translations, it's called denarii. 2 denarii. Did you know that 1 denarii is considered one person's day wage? It's what he made in a day. He gave him 2 denarii, which means 2 days of his wages. He gave to the innkeeper to say, take care of this guy, and I promise I'll come back, and if there's any extra money that you need that is expensive for you or expenses for you, I will pay you for them when I come back. He didn't say when he was going to come back, but just that he would come back and he'd take care of business. Jesus then asked the question to the expert of the law, which of these three, and he's referring to the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who was robbed and beaten and left half dead? And the answer is obvious, right? It's obvious. The one who had mercy on him was what the expert of the law said. He couldn't even say the Samaritan. It's just the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus says, go and do likewise. Have you ever needed a good Samaritan in your life at one point or another, one time or another? Did you ever need a good Samaritan? Well, here's a story. I did. I went to see my daughter, surprise her to play volleyball in a town in Minnesota. She didn't know I was coming. I said, I just want to surprise her, show up at the game, and just see what her face looks like when she sees her dad there. So I made it there in time, watched her play volleyball. She was surprised that I had come. And she said, "Dad, are you staying overnight?" I said, "Nope, I'm going all the way back to Dickinson, North Dakota tonight. And I just wanted to come and surprise you and get back home." She said, "Wow, you would do that for me?" I said, "Well, I'm here, aren't I?" Did it. On my way back between Fergus Falls and Fargo, got close to Lake Barnesville, got past Barnesville on I-94, I noticed that my headlights were starting to dim. And I'm going, "This is odd." And then my alternator light came on. And I go, "This is not good." I said, "I'm going to stay close behind the semi because at least I can see his taillights." And my lights got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And I go like, "Well, my headlights are dim. That means my taillights are also dim. And I can get in, I can cause a wreck." And so I'm doing what I did not want to do. I had to pull over to the side of the road. And I'm just saying, "Now what am I going to do?" And I stopped, got out, opened my hood, opened it up, and just sat in front of the car going, "Now what?" And all I could think of was like, "Give the thumb." And people just drove by and drove by, and some would honk their horn, and I'd go, "Hey." Maybe they knew them. Maybe they knew me, maybe they didn't. But I don't know how long it was, but it was all, I go like, "This is all I can do." All of a sudden, a trucker stops. I see the brakes, pulls over to the side of the road, and he stops. I run up there, and he goes, "You got trouble?" I go, "Yeah. I think my alternator's out." He goes, I said, "Can I ride to Moorhead? Because I got some friends who live in Moorhead, and I can at least stay there overnight, I hope, and take care of this car tomorrow, hopefully." And he said, "Yeah, hop in." As we're in the truck heading to Moorhead, he says, "I basically never stopped to pick up anybody." I go like, "I'm sure glad you did with me." And so, long story short, a short story, everything worked out. That was many years ago that took place, but I was so glad that this guy stopped to help me at least get to where another phone was. This was before cell phones. Have you ever needed a Samaritan, a good Samaritan in your life over something? And they show up, or somebody stops. And it's like, I don't even know the name of this guy. I probably wrote it down, I probably took his phone number, but I don't know what happened to that. But I still to this day don't know who he was. And oftentimes that's the way it is with good Samaritans. You don't know who they are, but you never forget them. He never knew that he was going to be a story in a sermon. Like today. Jesus tells the expert of the law, basically, be this kind of a person. When you see someone who needs help, make yourself available. The Samaritan today could be someone you would least expect. It could be a Democrat. It could be a Republican that stops to help you, gives you a lift, does something for you that you would never expect. It can be someone that you don't like, someone you would never ask, that comes along and says, "Can I help you?" And you say, "Yeah, this is what's going on." He says, "Hey, I can help you out." And they do. It will change your whole thinking on that person. And that's what Jesus intends for this expert of the law to do in the future. Change his whole idea of what he thought of Samaritans from this day forward. Who is our neighbor? What does the Lord say? Who is our neighbor?
One who shows mercy.
Our neighbor is everyone. How about them apples? Our neighbor is everybody. It's not just those you like, those you can be friends with. It probably can be someone that you have a hard time with. God's mercy is that way towards every one of us. To think he loves you. Why should he love you? Why should he care about you? Why does he love me? Why should he care about me? I'm just a good old sinner. But God's love goes beyond that. He sees what we can be with his forgiveness in our lives. So I'll stop there. Did you learn anything? Even though you've heard the parable many times? Somebody's going like, I'm just glad you're done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to be our Good Samaritan. No one else would probably stop to help us. No one came along in our lives that would encourage us or say, oh, it's not that bad here, I'll help you out. But Lord, you saw that your own son would do to us what no one else would do. He laid his life down for us so that we could have forgiveness of sins and have eternal life. There's no other way in which it comes other than through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, you know the hearts that are here today. You know those that are here that go by head knowledge versus heart knowledge. I just pray today, Lord, that there just may be a little bit more of a reconciliation. Some of the things we know in our mind and in our brain that will drop to our heart's level and that it will soak and change us to be more like Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, for myself, too. In your name we come, and in your name we trust and believe. Amen. We will say the Apostles' Creed together this morning as it comes up on the screen. I invite you to stand as we do so.